if we boil it down, what we're trying to do is make people curious about their potential again. And we can do that with simple questions every week.
That was Brian Fretwell, and you're listening to episode 272 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. I'm so excited that you're here this week. I'm so stinking excited. You know, every once in a while, I stumble across somebody online who stops me in my tracks and I go on this raging hunt to find them and get them on this podcast. And that is what created this week's episode. It was one of these raging hunts where I knew this person who I found online was someone special who had something unique to share, and I had to get them on this podcast. This week, we are speaking with a man by the name of Brian Fretwell, and he is a speaker and an author. He started his career as a teacher in a juvenile corrections facility while he was doing his MBA work in the evening. And that experience is what got him into what has become his life's work, where he helps people learn, understand, and apply brain-based approaches to leadership, engagement, and culture change. He's the author of a book called Experts of Our Potential that outlines how creating value and certainty in this post-industrial economy that we're in has changed and what we need to do as individuals to thrive in this new reality. He also has a TEDx talk that has been viewed over 800,000 times called What a 15-Year-Old Meth Addict Taught Me About Leadership. So amazing. Brian is also the founder of the website People Strength and has created this incredibly unique way of helping people remain curious and remain in a position of exploring what their true potential might be. He's such a proponent of helping people see how certain psychological concepts like locus of control and like growth mindset and others that, oh, you're just going to love it, how they actually apply in our lives and how without us realizing they've been at work in our lives through our own experience that we may not have realized it at the time. And he helps people make these connections and reconnect to the curiosity about what their true potential might be through one of the most powerful vehicles ever, through questions, through intentionally created questions that are meant to evoke the potential in us that is so incredibly limitless. I found Brian because I was scrolling through TikTok one day and I stumbled across a TikTok of his where he asked the question, "What went right this week because of you?" And I must have him. He has to come on this podcast. And so I'm absolutely thrilled that he is here to not only ask us all these questions, he asks so many deep questions. Get a pen and write them down. You're going to want to ask them of close people in your lives, of your team at work, of your kids, people you care about. You're going to want to use these questions on them. So just like jot them down because they're so good. And he just peppers them throughout this episode. So you're really going to want to capture them. But not only does he talk about the questions that he asks, but the meat underneath like the intention and the theory and the research behind why this method that he's developing is so incredibly powerful. It's such a great conversation. I'm a huge fan of his just from watching his content online. I'm an even bigger fan now, and I know you guys are going to be too. So I'm going to stop talking because I'm really excited for you all to meet Brian Fretwell. Brian, I'm so excited that you're here for this episode. I am pumped as to how I found you online, and I absolutely love the work you're doing. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, April. I've been looking forward to this all week. So I'm ready to jump into a great conversation here. Yeah.
I love it. So I find guests for this podcast in a lot of different ways. I mean, sometimes people have amazing books that are coming out and I'll reach out to the author, or people will contact me. And sometimes I am just hanging out on my phone, scrolling through social media because I'm just sort of burnt out at the end of the day. And I stumble across somebody that makes me pause. And you were one of those people. I was on TikTok one evening, just sort of flipping through as you do, you know, laughing at this and admiring somebody's dance moves on this next video. And I hit a video of you, and you were talking about a question that you use when you work with businesses and corporate clients. And this question was, what went well because of you this week? And I was like, what? It just made me pause. It was such a powerful question. And because of that, I'm like, who is this guy? What does he do? Where's he at? Can I get him? So I'm really excited that you're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. And I love that you found me on TikTok, because that's kind of this like new love of mine, which probably takes a little too much of my time, but it's a really neat platform to be able to communicate. And that story, you know, specifically in that TikTok has really been my whole world for the last year now. So just really fun to see it connect with so many people. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Your work is really interesting because you take an approach with it that is so thoughtful that you can't help but get value and change out of it. Can you talk a little bit about just about the work you do and the framework that you approach it from, this idea of fires and that type of thing? Can you just give us like a good overview?
Yeah. So conceptually, the way to think of it, and I've been a corporate facilitator, trainer, working with like neuroleadership and some of the other, you know, bigger names out there all over the world for the last 10 years. And we have fantastic training programs in this country and the world, and they do magnificent things. At the same time, where we have a big gap, corporate, but also in our personal lives, is we go to an 8-hour training and then we jump right back into the environment that we were in that may not support the development of a new strength. And it's a gap that I saw when I was in juvenile corrections, because the kids I worked with in corrections or in juvenile corrections over the course of the year, they would have more self-awareness than most 40-year-olds I meet. And then we would throw them back into an environment that didn't support it. And so my question has been, how do we create those environments, knowing that we can't actually go change the environment? And so what we've done, and what we're developing and doing, if you will, is we create a place to practice. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by practice is finding and reinforcing, in this case, the mindsets that we know scientifically are most powerful for people. And as you mentioned, the acronym, we call it the FIRES process, right? So FIRES is an acronym, because I love acronyms.
We all do. It's so much easier to remember things, right?
And so the acronym is feelings, influence, resilience, ethics, and strength. And what happens every week is we come and get asked questions, and we learn to ask questions that help people see where they're already like delivering those minds. Like, what is a strength that you use this week? What is, how did you overcome a challenge this week? What is the good that came out of a mistake this week? So that mistake would be growth mindset. We know that mindset is, and you can read books about growth mindset. You can pass tests about growth mindset and not be able to apply it.
Yeah.
Is we focus a little less on teaching you about that and a little more on saying, hey, where did you do that thing this week? And for me, locus of control is my favorite psychological concept because I think it's maybe the most powerful. And that's where that question, what went well because of you, is about asking people where their impact is. It's so hard to do that by ourselves. But if someone else, and in this case, often a stranger, does it, and you have to say it out loud, and you learn to be confident in saying it out loud, then that we call it the muscle, that muscle becomes much more usable, right? Mm-hmm. So with self-awareness, that's the feelings, with influence, that's the locus of control, with it, like the purpose question isn't what's your purpose? It's what have you done in the last week that's the most meaningful to you? Because now it's not what is your purpose, it's how is it playing out in your day-to-day? And what that does is it reinforces a mindset, but also gives you the validation that if you look at the numbers, nobody's getting it work. 60% of employees say, I've not been validated in the last 2 months. 20% say they never have in their job. And validation is fundamental for psychological, to use your term, for that psychological strength. We need each other. We need that, if you will, feedback, but we're really bad at giving it, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this so much. Something that's interesting is we were talking before we hopped on to record about my background in cognitive psychology. Mm-hmm. And there, it's true, the link between what a concept is and what it means, but then seeing how it plays out in your life and how many aspects of your life come into play with even just a single concept, mm-hmm. it's difficult for people to do unless that's just sort of what you do for your job. Like, I spend a ton of time working with people and digging into situations and dissecting them and understanding sort of the scaffolding cognitively that may have, you know, set that person up to have that belief or set them up to be inclined to behave that way or whatever it happens to be. And it's interesting when you can take something as simple as our identity. What mm-hmm. did our mind learn about us? What does it think it means to be a person like me? People mm-hmm. like me, what do we do? What do we not do? And then you realize, nope, that actually comes into play in your relationships. When you think about the type of person a person like you would be with and who they wouldn't, and the type of treatment a person like you tolerates and what they don't. And it comes into play in your job. How much money does a person like you make? And will you ask for more or not? It comes into play, you know, in other social settings. Like, there's so many places that this one fundamental thing, you mentioned locus of control, name an area of life that doesn't come into play, right? I mean, it's just so pervasive.
And here's the thing that this, the statement, the a person like me, it took a long time, honestly, for me to figure out what we were doing. I started these Zoom groups a year ago because I was traveling 45 weeks a year doing facilitation. COVID happened and put on park, right? But these conversations is something I've been doing with a small group of four friends, all males, that you wouldn't think, because one's an ex-forester, one's a literal sailboat captain, and one's owns his own business photographer. And we have an hour a week that has been going on for over 5 years where we, and it'll today, in 2 hours today, we'll have that call. And for 1 hour, we can only talk about what went well the last week. There is no side conversations. Each person gets 15 minutes. And our questions are about what was your part in creating that? And it's been the most, a couple of people in the group have in those 5 years actually been in and out of rehab. And been like, we've been through some major challenges, all of us. And we credit this group with being able to help, because we have people that are experts about us And that's so vital. And so when we started on the Zoom call, I was, what is going on here? What are we doing? I really couldn't answer it for a long time. But when you say that statement of like a person like me, what we've realized is that the more fixed I am, the more I think I know what a person like me is or is supposed to do, the less I'm now curious.
Yes.
And when I stop being curious, then I start to lose that feeling of agency. And we know that like the less strong, if you will, that your locus of control is, that less agency, the more physical effects, mental effect, like it affects all parts of your life. And so if we boil it down, what we're trying to do is make people curious about their potential again. And we can do that with simple questions every week.
That's so good. And that's so good.
We have to train people, because people get on and they think asking questions is about helping somebody figure out their problem, helping them have insight. And no. If they can leave more curious about their potential, you can do that in one question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it has to now be about them.
Yeah. Say more about that.
So we use the term authentic curiosity, that the challenge we have in asking other people questions, especially people that are close to us, is we assume their answer. Like when somebody says happy, I'm happy. Well, I'm hearing that and I'm filtering that through my own definition of happy. And so asking, well, what does happy feel like for you? How do you create a day where more happiness is available? What happens when you do more of that happiness? What else is created in your life? And the more I ask the question, I get really fired up about it.
I love it.
I can't ask somebody a question without entertaining that question myself. And I think this is some of the work like Lieberman is doing, like Eisenberg is doing in that social brain work, where it's our very definition of ourselves comes through other people.
Yeah.
And if we're purposeful about that, then that might be one of the most impactful ways to change our definition of ourselves and influence others to find a more helpful definition of themselves.
Well, it's interesting. Oh, there's so much about this. I'm like, which rabbit hole should I jump down?
Welcome to my day here. Yeah.
I know. There's so many. And this is what happens when I get an awesome guest on. I don't know where to go. Where I want to dive in, it's interesting because we go back to that notion of identity. We get that socially as we develop, right? We hear it explicitly from people around us. Oh, we don't do that. Or, you know, oh gosh, people like us don't go to places like that. We get explicit things, but then we also implicitly see people who look like us, who are in our same circle. They go to the same types of places and we see the behaviors they exhibit, the behaviors they don't, the implications, the ripple effect, the mm-hmm. outcome of them. We see them succeed or not, and we take that all in as though it's true about us. And what you're really talking about is an intentional remolding of what that is, with the caveat of making sure that those people who you are allowing to remold you are the right ones. Because it's very easy to find a person or a group of people who will just deepen your belief that all of that potential is unavailable to you.
Yeah.
But if you get a group of people who just don't believe that and won't let up on the fact that, no, there's greatness in there,
yeah,
you can start to remold that.
And when we get into the break, as you define, you just outlined everything that goes into when people practice, number one, no feedback, no opinion, no advice. That's not what you're there for. You're there to ask questions. And the design of the question is leveraging expectation theory. I'm a former educator. It's that when I ask you, what went well because of you, there's an expectation. There's an assumption built in there, right? In that sends the message that, oh, something did go well because of you. In the question, I've now assumed it and I've grown. And when you talk about developmentally, and this is sort of where we're pushing right now in the business, is how helping parents, teachers, mentors ask these questions of teenagers and adolescents. And it took me a long time to get convinced that we should do this because I don't have kids. Now, I was a teacher for a long time, but I'll tell you what made the switch to me was realizing that it was these types of questions and the people that had the awareness to ask them of me that allowed me to be who I am. And I get a little kind of tied into this, but I grew up in a family. My stepsister spent 10 years in jail for methamphetamine. And I was so close to going down whatever other channel, right? And I remember specifically, and I tell this story a lot, that I had one coach that said, "Hey, Brian, I noticed you worked hard in workouts, right? And I really think that if you bring that hard work to everything you do, you can," and this was in football, he said, "you can have any position on the field." And when I think back to it, almost every time I interacted with, hey, here you're working hard in whatever class, and hey, you know, how are you going to get this grade up with that hard work? And it's so much a part of who I am today. And so we think about, like, as we're designing these, how can we help parents who know they want to build their kid up, who know they want to, and yet they feel like they're talking at them because they are. How do we get the questions of, like, when they do get done with practice, what's the thing you worked the hardest on today?
Yeah.
Or what is the thing that you did that you're most proud of this week? And bringing those questions in a consistent manner with that expectation built in, and in a way that, you know, we tell people it doesn't matter if they answer. Because it's what you're doing is building that trust that over time that you do believe in them, which I think so many parents do, but it becomes so difficult to be able to, right? Because you just want to tell them, you just want to correct them because you know there's so much more that they can be. You see their potential and they don't see it, and it's frustrating. And so you tend to then overcorrect and, like, why aren't you doing this? Where are you going? But having this channel of, like, tell me about how awesome you are this week. Tell me about this strength that you're applying. And again, just getting that, yeah, I'd say, like, and we use the gym metaphor, but, like, having that as a consistent part, it for me, it's the thing that made the difference in my life. And I think that whether it's kids or adults or in work or out of work, if we can just help people learn how much of an impact they can have on other people, simply, not because they are, you know, an expert at something, but because they're asking the questions that communicate the belief they already have in that person.
That's amazing. And I love that you take it as a gym strength approach. I mean, obviously, right, we're building psychological strength here. So yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But what I think is cool about that is, if you, let's just go to the actual gym, right? Let's just go there in our minds. Any one rep that you do with a weight, it doesn't do much, right? That one rep, you don't all of a sudden have giant biceps because you did a curl. Right. You don't, you know, have a giant posterior chain. You did one deadlift. It doesn't happen right away. And the changes are so subtle over time that it isn't until you've been at it for a while that you realize this is fundamentally different. So I'm going to give a strength, like a physical strength example, and then a psych strength example. And this is what I think is cool about what you're doing. I started lifting really intentionally, very heavy for my size. Like, what are heavy weights for me? I don't know, probably 10 years ago. And I remember at the time I owned a house and I had this step ladder that was just awkward and there was nowhere else to put it in my tiny garage. And so it was up on these hooks in the rafters of my garage. And it was such a pain in the butt to get down because it was kind of heavy and it would jiggle back and forth. After I had been lifting for a number of months over the winter, summer came and it was time for me to do a project outside and I needed this ladder. And I was standing in my garage looking at this ladder and I'm like, this is annoying. I'm going to have to get that stupid thing down. And I reached up and I grabbed it and lifted it off of those hooks as though it were nothing. And I didn't realize how much stronger I had gotten in a functional way, in a way in which it impacted real scenarios in my life, like actual behaviors were easier.
Yes.
It happens psychologically as well. The more, I mean, we say this all the time. Ashley will join me for these episodes and we say it all the time. We do this stuff like you who has this conversation with your friends in 2 hours, right? We do these same exercises. And it wasn't until very recently, a couple of situations happened professionally for me that were had the potential to be some serious upheaval. They were not insignificant events. And I remember feeling less reactive. I felt more of a pause. I didn't feel like there was a major spike and an urge to react right away. I was like, wait. And I started doing what we ask people to do. How am I feeling right now? What is that? It feels mixed up. What are those feelings? I'm feeling angry. I feel sad for that person. And I'm a little bit afraid that I want to make sure I preserve this relationship. Okay, cool. Those are three things I can work with. It wasn't until I've been doing this stuff for however long, and I bet it's similar for your folks. One question repeated over and over to show someone that they do have potential.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll just crop up out of nowhere in their life and they'll realize, I think about that opportunity differently now. I see it as something that's available to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I could show you a lot of emails that we get and then a lot of people coming and saying, you know, I had this event and then that's kind of where we got on the, you know, working with teenagers is we had so many parents coming back, like, I have an email just this week. I just had a 10-minute conversation about my kid's school that I've never had. And my kid is 15 years old. And it's again, that one question that if it's designed properly with the assumption, with the timeline, like we have a kind of a rubric for the different elements and the questions that are behind them, just like at the gym. There's a certain way to lift weights, right? We're starting to figure that out and getting better at that. But in that one, you just open the door, right? Because because it's not, and where you're, it takes time is that we're so used to being asked questions that are about interrogating, that are about what you did wrong. So it's going to take some time to ask the questions and be like, oh, this here is about exploration. This here is about telling my story, and everybody wants to tell their story. But think about how few opportunities we have to tell our story in a way that helps us discover what that story could be. Not just what that story is.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we get into the discovery of that, boy, it changes our ability to not just react for ourselves, but we become, I see empathy as a muscle, right? And gratitude, all of those things are practice. The more you practice them. And so here, when we're allowing people to have that story, we listen to them and then we have like a minute of reflection. You practice empathy every time. And whether people come to the gym or a lot of people are just getting the workouts and doing it on their own, just asking the question is telling that person you're part of the pack and you're worth listening to.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how important is that?
Yeah. And it's, you can tell someone that directly. You're important. You're worth listening to 10 times. You ask them a question that those two ideas are embedded in one time. And it's going to be so much more memorable because the brain science, it forces so many more regions of their brain to start to, you know, activate. Now the hippocampus is involved, all of the, you know, fun brain stuff that I like to really get into. But at the end of the day, just like with the muscle, the question, your brain can't not answer a question. And the better designed that question is, the more activity is happening. And so we know that like more energy means more change, whether it's in your muscle or whether it's in your brain. And that's where we really focus on. Let's ask, and we have four categories of difficulty. First category is talk about something out of your control that you don't like. Pretty easy. Oh, the weather sucks this week, Bob. Category two gets a little tougher. Something out of your control that you do like. Well, I got a cake. But there's, again, no. And what becomes counterintuitive is category three, something that you did have a part of that didn't go well is actually easier to talk about than something that did go well because of you.
Wow.
So few opportunities that we get to say that out loud because that is super risky.
Yeah.
Are we arrogant? Are we going to be rejected? Are we going to be, you know, laughed at? And we're trying to help people create the environments where people can learn to have the confidence to say that out loud. And in the process, figuring out what it is and being curious about what it could be.
I love that. It's interesting. Cognitive stuff. I can't help it. I just love it. It makes me think about confirmation bias, right? We seek out, find, believe, put more weight in, value information that confirms our prior belief. And a lot of us deep down do have some degree of belief that we have limitations. There are ends to our potential. And what you're forcing people to do, and there's actually, it's interesting because it's, you're running contrary to confirmation bias, right? You're asking them to go find information that disproves that, which is incredible. And then because I always say people are really good at looking for something, they're not good at looking at something. The example I always give is the zoo. You go to the zoo and you're standing in front of an exhibit. There's trees and grass and a rock and vines and whatever. And there's this name of this species of animal, and it's always in Latin or whatever. And if you just know the name of the animal and you're looking at this exhibit, it's like, where is it? I don't even know where to look. But the zoo gives you a picture of the animal. So now suddenly you're looking for that thing. And it's like, oh, it's furry. It's right there. Like you can find it instantly. So what you're asking people to do is take something that's difficult, that probably runs contrary to a belief that they hold. Yeah. And you're telling them exactly what you want them to look for.
Yeah.
Ah, so good.
You hit it right on the head. In the question design, we limit the availability of not looking for it, right? Like what went well because of you? Well, you can't it forces you into that corner. And it's funny, every once in a while, somebody, well, not a whole lot. Well, if something did, what was it? And that's where the 10 minutes starts, because there's more questions. And and the fun thing is the people asking the questions, this is a game, right? This is fun. This is, they want to go there. And not because they want to help you figure something out, not because of it, but because they want, and the base of where the FIRES acronym came is find the fire in them. That's what we said, like find, because you'll see a physical change. You'll see the eyes, but you see them slow down. Like once the brain is operating in that space, like once they're discovering a strength or they're really getting in, the conversation changes. Sometimes it gets bigger, sometimes it gets slower. We're training people to look for that. And then once you see that, let's explore that. We call it clearing the map. Let's make that map so clear for them, because we're not going to assume any part of that map. How did that happen? Cool. Where did that come from? Where did you learn it? Where could it go? All of those questions are now, that person is now reshaping the story that will most be most helpful for them. And the belief that I drive in every week is there's always good under the hood. Whatever they're doing is coming from a place of love, of care, of right there, that you cannot have anger if you don't care about something. Mm. But people get hung up on, I was mad, I did this bad thing. Well, that for sure happened. What's underneath that? Because that's where the learning is. It happened because I cared a lot about this and I screwed this thing up. Oh, okay, let's keep the care. Now let's do it a little different, right?
But this is tough. I wish we could talk for like 3 hours today, because I'm passing up rabbit holes that I want to explore and dig into, but you're going to have to end up coming back, because we just have a lot that we can get into. We've talked a lot about gyms. We've talked a lot about the fact that these skills can be strengthened. Tell me what psych strength means to you.
I love the term.
Yay.
Having worked for two neuroscience-based companies, Sentis in Australia and then NeuroLeadership here, I will always say the brain works like a muscle.
Yes.
And just like a muscle, it doesn't care what you're doing. It will respond to what you're doing. Yeah. And so psychological strength isn't about, it's about having the resources, knowing where those resources are, but building around them that you can handle the bigger and heavier stuff.
Mm.
Just like your definition of like how you're lifting and then all of a sudden I could do this other thing. We tend to believe that I'm good at this or I'm bad at that. I'm good at interacting with people. I'm bad at interacting with people. No. Like, what are you purposely doing to build that muscle?
Yeah.
Like what challenge and I think like being able to see the challenges we've been in before and actually acknowledge and have gratitude for the strength we built from them. Because what's different about going to the gym is I can lift and I don't like, as long as I lifted, my muscle remembers that. You can go to you can have a really challenging experience and your brain now has the ability to only remember what was horrible about that experience and what you shouldn't do again. Or we can consciously focus it to remember all of the things you brought to the experience that allowed you to go through. But we have to consciously connect to that if we want to build that muscle. And so it's a little bit different in the brain where we have to be more purposeful about it. But psychological strength is about how we're consciously building the support systems internally and externally that allow us to overcome any challenge in front of us.
I love that. You know, we have this tagline that we say all the time that your mind could be your most valuable asset or your biggest barrier, and you get to choose. You do. Yeah. You get to pick. Yeah. And what the paradox of it that you just nailed so beautifully is that, unfortunately, I always love to say, we're just such an adorable species because we're doing the best we can, but we've been given this organ that runs on basic processes that, if left to their own devices, don't help us out very much. Right. So we actually have to intervene and steer the boat in the right direction, and most people don't. So I love that you have found such a unique way to bring people in, bring them together, and help them start to do that. I took part in one of your gym sessions a couple of months ago. It was super powerful. I met random strangers and we asked each other these incredible questions, and it was such a valuable experience. So can you tell this audience a little bit more about where they can find you, information about these sessions? I mean, just tell us where you're at.
Yeah, peoplestrength.com is where we're at. We're in a big building process right now. But if you go there, you can download the five basic questions from the FIRES model. So it's a free ebook, and it'll give you access to the free gym membership. So you can go to one of the, every week we hold one of the ones that you went to, April. Every week we call them the basics. So it's an hour where you can observe. You don't even have to actually get involved. But on peoplestrength.com, always start with those questions. And I tell people, download the questions and go try them out.
Because
you can't not notice the difference. And then from there, you know, we have gym memberships. We're coming out with more tools that people can use kind of on their own. And then we have some trainings that we're currently doing and then also building out. But start with the questions that are there. And please, if any of you go out and download that, I love nothing more than hearing from people saying, I tried it here or I tried it there. If you go to my link tree on any of my social media accounts, LinkedIn or TikTok, people have been buying the shirts. What's right with you and what went well because of you, and wearing them to work.
Nice.
And teachers wearing them right to school on Friday. What's right with you? Yeah. It's the question we want to ask.
Yeah.
And the more I hear people asking it, like that's for me kind of, you know, all I need at the end of the day. It's just so much fun. Yeah.
That's amazing. This has been so wonderful. If it is even possible, I'm a bigger fan of you now having had this conversation than I was watching so many of your TikTok videos. It's just so impressive, everything that you're putting out there and this methodology that you've developed. So we appreciate so much you spending some time with us this week for this episode. It's just been fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me. This has been a whole lot of fun. And I in turn am a huge fan of April Seifert as well. If I said that in the last name right, I hope. Sorry.
Seifert, but whatever. Seifert. Everybody mispronounces it that way. Yay. So good. We have a mutual admiration society. That's a great way to end an episode.
Fantastic.
For those of you who have been with me for a while, you know that I don't often recommend products or services. It's because I want to make sure that the ones I recommend are truly of value to this community. Because of that, my decision to work with BetterHelp was an easy one. I want to thank them for sponsoring this episode and my show. With the BetterHelp platform, you can tap into the world's largest network of licensed, accredited, and experienced counselors who can help you with a wide range of issues, including depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, and so much more. I'm a psychologist, and I personally have been to therapy twice in my life. And in both cases, I went in feeling so confused, unclear, and anxious about the road ahead. Both times, my therapist was able to restore clarity and get me on a much clearer, happier path. I know how transformative therapy can be, which is why I recommend BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and they'll match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's professional counseling done securely online. And because it's a virtual platform, you'll get access to a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which isn't available in many geographic areas. And their services are available for clients worldwide. As a member, you can log into your account at any time and send messages to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like you have to with traditional therapy. It's also free to change counselors if you need to, because BetterHelp is committed to facilitating the right match between you and your therapist. Best of all, it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and they even have financial aid available. BetterHelp and I want you to start living a happier life today. Visit betterhelp.com/BPS. That's betterhelp.com/BPS. That's BPS like building psych strength. Join over 1 million people who are taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Because you're a listener of the show, you get a special offer of 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/BPS. Click the link in this episode description and say yes to a better and happier you. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.